if he left his place, if he goes traveling, Yorde Yah means going traveling in the sea. Chamavadi originally said even though someone went swimming in the ocean, just went swimming off the coast, he also makes Hagomel for going swimming. Later, he was Mustafik, maybe it's considered safe. Okay, that's one Shailav going swimming in the ocean. Then Midbar is, anytime you're traveling 72 minutes outside the yeshuv, outside your city, you make the Hagomel, you use the Surim, someone's getting out of jail. Okay, someone probably, one of the hostages maybe getting freed, maybe that's similar, you'd make Hagomel. Now, what about this case? This guy was almost hit by a missile, and it just went overhead and didn't kill him. Baruch Hashem. Does he make Hagomel? Answer is, this is a Yesh Mishomer at the end of the Siman, and it says, one of the Rishonim says, if you're in a different situation where your life was just spared, you should also make Hagomel. As a Machloket, it's from early Rishonim, I think the Gonim, do we say a bracha on that? So, the Sardim come out, Safik Bracha La'akel. We only make it on these four major things, Chole, Yorde Yam, Yosemite Asurim, Midbar, those situations. Someone travels, sometimes even a very long trip to work, you can make, you can make Hagomel. But this is what Rav Amar, when he came, he said once he was traveling for a shiur between Yerushalayim and Tel Aviv, several times a week, and he made the Gomel twice a week for every time he would travel there. More than 72 minutes there and back. Very nice. However, that what about the situation, someone was almost struck by a missile? For Sfardim, we would not make bracha. The Mishnah Berurah says, on that, someone who makes a bracha, mevarech, lo hefsid, he's allowed to make the bracha, so I have to ask the Rav Shechter, Ashkenaz, and the Poskim, what they say on that. Now, Tar Sugya, what is Tor Lechem? What does it mean? Something that looks like bread. Is a wrap considered included? Is mizonot? Is it hamotzi? I'm not sure I'm going to get to the psak on wraps, but we're going to start, and the Midrash Hashem, if I don't finish today, on Thursday. So we have four different places in the Shulchan Aruch Kuf Samachem, when we're talking about Padre Gisnin, about this topic about, I would say, wraps, so things that are very thin. Okay? The first time, seemingly, is when we talk about what is Padre Gisnin. The three definitions from the Rishonim are finished. The last one that Shulchan Aruch quotes is from Rav Haigon, from the Aruch, Ke'avim Yeveshim V'Kosim Otam. These are breads that are made very thin, and they're made dry, and you crunch on them, you munch on them, they're like crackers. Okay, so this is what we are famous with, crackers, and we even make a matzah, hard matzah, mezonot, for the same reason. Okay, so now, the question is, we have to keep that in mind, if you have so much of them, you eat a lot of matzah, or you eat a lot of crackers, so you're going to make hamotzi, because it's a rule with tarav kisnin, cake and cookies, and you eat a little bit mezonot, but you eat a lot of them, hamotzi. It's not like the sufganiyot we have here, those you make mezonot, even if you have 10 of them. The wafers that we're talking about over here, they're mizonot, but if you have a meal, you make hamotzi. Okay? So that's step one. Now, let's talk about wraps. Wraps are not crunchy. They don't crack. Usually, they're not so dried out. Wonderful. So that included in this category in the most basic sense. Okay, let's keep going, though. Then you talk about Sif Ched. That's Sif Zayin. Sif Ched talks about lachmaniyot. The Gemara says, and Mem Bet Amud Aleph, after talking about skin, the Gemara comes out, has a story of Rabbi Muna. He went to go visit at the house. They're making a shiduch, and then they served him some food, and they said, "My sisi, the kamavar. What's this bracha sisi? What do you make a hamotzi? It's a mezonot. It's banab gisnin." The Gemara says discussion was kuvei asura. It says damer Shmuel lachmaniyod mevarak lem hamotzi ma'arvin bahem mevarak lem hamotzi. The Gemara says, "Oh, it's okimta behechad kavino alayo. When you make it into a meal, lachmaniyod." The Gemara says, is mizonot if you just eat a little bit, hamotzi when you make a lot of it. Now, just by the side point, the Gemara said is ma'arvin behem. What does that mean, eruv? You make an eruv with the matzah, we make it with the strings. What is this? Okay, so the real eruv from the Gemara means you combine everybody together. So how do you combine everybody together? We hold, and the Gemara has machloket, Rav and Shmuel, is eruv mishum pad or eruv mishum rishuyot? Are they joined together in one rishuyot or because of the food? Halacha, we say, pito gorem, all right, a person is brought, his residence is considered wherever he has food. So a person that has an eruv with a box of matzot or some food joined together, a chalot, that joins him together. Eruv chatzirot has to happen with bread. So now, this used to be, in the olden days, they used to use real bread and used to spoil very quickly. And the Taz, he says, you're not allowed to keep the eruv from week to week. You have to renew it every single week because it's going to spoil. Once it's spoiled, not edible, you can't use that as the eruv. So people had a solution, great idea, use matzah. Matzah doesn't spoil, you live it years, you can live it 5 years, it's still edible. So it doesn't spoil, so they have a good eruv. Okay, the question is for Sfaradim, can you use that for eruv chatziro? Eruv chatziro is when we want to join together lots of people living in the same area, can you use that for eruv? The answer is from this Gemara, it's also found in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Samach Bed in the Hilchot Eruv Chetzirot. Yes, it works because it's still part of Kisnin. It's not Hamotzi, but it's part of Kisnin, like Lachmaniot. The Gemara says Lachmaniot. If you would be Kovei Asuda, you make Hamotzi. If not, not. Now, it may depend on the shiur, the exact amount. For Ashkenazim, one box of matzah is good enough. But for Sardim, maybe two boxes, as Rosh Hashanah says. Basically, if you're for sure, if you're going with weight as opposed to volume in your shiurim, you need 18 grogrot. So six kebetim could be more than one box of matzah. It's a good idea to have two boxes of matzah. But the Sardi Eruvin, I'm sure there's not a problem. How much is a box of matzah already? Get two boxes of them. But the Ashkenazi Eruvin, they probably just get one because it's easier. They don't think about this. But if you're making an Eruv in the town, this see if this is the discussion about how to kebetim does work for an Eruv. Okay? If you come for the Sephardi Shabbaton this week, there is an Eruv here. It's just as good or just as bad as the Brooklyn Eruv or the Big City Eruv. Whatever you hold on those, that they were, Chaim Avadia has a tshuva in Brooklyn. It's basically the same thing by Manhattan, Washington Heights. And if you don't hold of it there, similar discussion. Now, Lachmaniot, what are these? The Gemara said that you make mezonot on them. What are they? Rashi says they're ovally, now ovalies. With a shin at the end of a la's word of French, old French in Rashi, it's an S. So it's obelis. If you look online, you can Google, you see an old Middle Eastern French food. It was all over, very common in Europe, 1300s and 1400s. You can see all the pictures of the waffle presses. These were basically thin crackers, thin waffles. They weren't necessarily crunchy, but they were either, sometimes they were. They were wafers, or they were and crunchy, or they were like very thin pancakes. You can see the waffle makers. Rashi, when he describes Pata B'Kisnin, he says they make it in the shape of a Sipor, or they make it in the shape of Ilan. And exactly, they have those pictures online. They also have Avodah Zarah pictures, but they also have pictures of the of trees and birds that they made in these ovalis. Ovalis, this, the Gemara, the Rashi says, is Mizonot, is Pata B'Kisnin. If you Kovei Suda, you have as a meal, you make Hamotzi. Seems very similar. If you actually look at the pictures, it's exactly like a waffle maker. It's just thinner than the waffle makers see, the fluffy waffles today. It's nothing like that in their day. By the way, just to know, why were there things usually, there were two ways to making bread. There was plila rakam, plila ava. Things that were made as a thin dough or things that are made as a thick dough. Think thick dough, you make challah, it rises. Thin dough was usually very thin. The batter usually directly determined whether the outcome was thin or thick. Now, today it doesn't work like that. The reason is the following. When they made the old doughs, the only way to make something rise is using basically yeast. They didn't invent baking soda, baking powder. That's not what they used. The only time they would otherwise make it thick was with eggs, with a lot of fat, and the fat that grows. But that wasn't a thing, except when they're making eggs, no one made the egg challah by then. In the days of the Gemara, you wanted to make something thick, they didn't even have yeast as a yeast package. It was floating in the air. Hashem made the world perfect, so it has yeast in the air. So you want to make challah, you have to leave the dough or make a sourdough, leave the dough out on the side to make sourdough. You make it, leave it on the side for a bunch of hours, leave it a bunch of days. After a week, it turns into sourdough and grain, and you have a lot of yeast condensed in your dough. If you leave out your challah dough for hours and hours, yes, it will rise because of the yeast in the air. That works very well. It makes it rise. It makes challah very nice. It does not work by things that have a lot of liquid. If you use a batter and leave it out for a bunch of hours, what's going to happen? It's going to spoil. The water content, more than 50%, and you have a lot of water content, the bacteria thrive, and it'll go spoiled very quickly. It was never possible in their day to make something that was a thin dough rise. How do they make such a thing as pancakes nowadays rise? Pancakes are a thin dough, like a batter, but they rise. You ever seen them? They're usually half an inch, usually at least a centimeter. 2 centimeters, sometimes you can make gigantic waffles, 3 centimeters. How do they do such a thing? Baking soda or baking powder, one of those, and they rise. A chemical reaction that they can interact with the sugars and they rise. Wonderful. So that makes carbon dioxide, it goes and it rises. Or you can add yeast today. So those are the ways that nowadays they make it rise, even with blila raka. Now that definitely is going to influence the halakha. Let's see, lachmaniot, or these thick dough, belila ava, shkorn ovalis. And they were like these waffles, lechem gamurhu, mevarchem motzi, berkat hamazon. So we don't paskin, Rashi, we paskin on these waffles, hamotzi. Now, the waffles today are sweet. So therefore, we're still going to make mezonot because of the other definition, because of the definition of nilosh, that they're sweet, we make mezonot on them. But if you're kveya suda on the waffles, we're going to make hamotzi as a kveya suda. Then he says, however, Tosfot, the Rabbeinu Yonah, Mordechai, Rosh, most of the other Rishonim, and there's the Shulchan Aruch Posek, Pulotan Raka Dakima, Shvorin, Nivlis, or Nilish, or Nils, these are other French food in the 1300s. Fortunately, I couldn't find what these are. But these are, there's a machlok at Magen Avraham and Taz. Okay, a few hundred years later. What are these? These are mizonot always. And if you're, sorry, not always. These are mizonot. If you go kuvei suda hamotzi. Okay, so, and these are, what are these? Magen Avraham quotes from the Shla, quoting his father, the Emek Bracha. There's many Emek Brachas. There's the Brisker one in the last 100 years. That's Rav Pomeranchik. But there's also Emek Bracha, father of the Shla. The Shla was a Talmid of the Maharshal, living in Ashkenaz in the 1600s, amongst the Gedolei Poskim of this day. So the Emek Bracha describes something called Nikol Sinki. Okay, this is in Russia, in the Russia-Ukraine area, 1500s. How did they make it? They made it by pouring a dough upon, like, on leaves from a tree that they would put in the oven and cook like that. Okay, it's basically a very thin batter pancake. Okay, a very thin batter pancake. He says that's what it means here, that they're mizonot. If you make then if you kvesu, it becomes a motzi. The Taz jumps up and he says, what are you talking about? How could this possibly be considered pat bekisnin? It's a batter. It just cooks in the oven, but if you pour it, and it's only congealed because it was poured on top of something else that's collecting it, like these leaves or whatever. So the, for sure that should be mizonot, even if you're kvei suda. Okay, so let's clarify and summarize, and then we'll put it together a little bit. We basically, ready from these two sifim, see there's three categories. There's things that are always hamotzi. Those are the ovalis, the waffles. They're not sweet. Let's call them hamotzi. Maybe there's going to be our wraps today. We'll talk about it in a moment. That's things, let's say for sure, calzone, and we'll talk about pizzas. Pitas are hamotzi. Doesn't matter, they're thin, very nice, they're thin. Bottom line, they rose a little bit. They're ovalis, the ovaliash of Sif Chet. That's category one, hamotzi automatic. Category two is Padaba Kisnin, things that were thin, but if you're Kveh Suda, become hamotzi. These would definitely be like our pancakes today, and probably our pancakes today, they're mizonot because of the sweetness, otherwise they'd be Pak Amur. Okay? Then the third category are things that are so thin, you'd never make hamotzi. So let's see that inside in Sif. We did bagels, chalut, yodalit, tevav, is on Lamed Chet, about dealing with troknin and trita. The Gemara says, yuchayim and chala on different types of breads. The Gemara comes out with two different types. Long story short, trita is a very, very thin dough that they would, very thin batter. They would pour over a very hot metal concave stovetop. They would light a fire, put coals underneath, and it would cook on top of that. The troknin was a thicker dough a little bit. So trita is patur chala, troknin is chayav chala. Shulchan Aruch says about this, that troknin is osin guma. They make a hole in the ground and they put some fire inside, like the Arabs, and they'll put the bread inside. Kemach umayim arvin v'nafasham. That's mizonot, but if you make kviyat suda, make samotzi. Trita is kemach umayim and shofchin. It's like you pour. A poured batter is mizonot always. Okay, so let's just summarize here. We have these three sifim. We have the three categories, something that's always hamotzi, that are thick. That even though you rolled them thin, they're going to be hamotzi always. The next category was troknin or the nilish. They're mizonot because they're very, very thin and they're mizonot. But if you make kviyat suda, it becomes hamotzi. And then very, very, very thin, we become mizonot always. Now, what is our wraps? How do you know which things are which? Let's just talk. The wraps are made in two ways. The mitziyot is like this. Some of them, the American one, the European, you can look online and see all the recipes, watch the videos. Their wraps are made, one way is by taking dough, and they just take a machine or whatever, a person, they roll very, very thin. Not wraps, but whatever, the ones that are from Mexico and Spain, they make them with a dough, with a batter. A batter that they pour out, and okay, in a machine, whatever, it makes it, so it's a very thin wrap. For Sfardim, the chiluk, if you know exactly the mitzvot, then it's pretty easy. That if it's a batter, it's poured, and the only reason it becomes like a wrap is because they cooked it in the oven, it congealed in a pan, that's mizonot always. So even if you have a suit on it, it's mizonot, that's like trita. However, if you have the one that was just a dough and that was rolled out very thin, so that's very hard to say it's not going to be a motzi because of what we started with the ovalis. So ovalis, even though they're very thin in their day, they're still hamotzi. The Shachan Ropasim's Lechem Gamur. Raymond Toron, his website, has wraps are hamotzi. There's definitely many shitot. I'm not finished on this. If you're safek on which one, we have to work on it very hard to figure out the mitziyut. But we have a klal in the Kaf HaChaim. He says, safek mizonot, safek hamotzi, you make mizonot. Safek brocha la'akel. This is the way, same thing that Maran Shachan Ruch did when he was not sure about which things are part of the kasinas, the crackers, the cake, whatever. So he said, make mizonot on everything. It's a safer bracha. So that's what we follow. The Zohar Bracha quotes Rav Yasha goes the other way. The Bach already disagreed with the Shulchan Aruch. And anyway, he says if you're full, it's a Safek Deraita, you should make Hamotzi. Okay, just to throw in one thing about the pancakes. When you make pancakes, you can make them kind of thick. So this is Machloket Halachabura and Yalki Yosef. Do you look at the result or you look at what it was made with? It was made with a batter, but they come out very thick sometimes today because of the way, because either the pan it condenses or because of the baking soda and eggs, it rises. So says the Halacha Brura says it doesn't matter. You look at the beginning. The beginning was made with a batter. It's mezonot forever. You can have as many as you want. Still mezonot. Yaakov Yosef says it goes by the result. The result is it rose a little bit. It still looks. It now looks like a Torah lechem. It comes like a bread. Torah lechem. I said I was going to try to explain what is Torah lechem. Torah lechem is it looks like a bread to people. It became a little thick and has some structure. Breads are made in a million types of ways, but it has to have some thickness. The Rishonim Tosef said noodles. They're talking about lakshin and those sort of things do not have. Torah lechem. Noodles are very thin. The Rosh Zalman or Shechter, they say on cereals, Cheerios, Wheaties even, they say that's very thin and small, that doesn't have Torah lechem, so it's good for Sereme Tshuva, someone has, doesn't want to have Parakum, they have those Cheerios, and you can never be Kvesud on a cereal, according to them. Rabbi Yashiv disagreed about the cereals. That is big enough. Okay, so it's a big machlug to tell you what the thinness is, but noodles, we make mezonot, well, because they're boiled anyway, but even Rabbi Natam agrees there's no Torah lechem. So on the between Halacha Brura and Yaakov Yosef, it's a big machloket whether or not you look at the result is thick, like Yaakov Yosef, and it came out one afkamin, I don't remember what it is, but it's like chalach, it's some Temani bread that they made with a batter, but it comes very thick because they'll put yeast into the batter, even though it's a water, Yaakov Yosef, Hamotzi, and Halacha Brura would be Mizonod. Okay, Chazak, Baruch, Baruch Hashem will explain more.